Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, He loves you.
Under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my co-host and big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Praise God. And along with my good friend and Dr. Gregory. How you doing, Dr. Gregory?
Well.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be back one more time where we can get together and study God's Word. We're just going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us right now, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 On last week, we were in the book of Romans, and we were finishing up about how we needed to have faith and how that faith comes by hearing and the hearing of the word of God. And once we explored that with Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10, what we said was now that you're saved, you have a responsibility to learn what God wants you to do by what we said in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. And so once you're saved, we said that there are some things in our old man that we need to straighten up. So in other words, you're saved, but you still got to get your mind together so you can do the will of God and so you can tell somebody else how to get saved.
Amen. Right.
And a lot of times we don't know how to get into a position where that old person can start going to the back and a new person can start coming to the front. And so if we look at Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, just to recap, it says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so this is what God is looking for once we have been born again, once we've been saved, once we have been placed back into the right relationship with God. God says now there's a process, a sanctification process, that we begin to start looking more and more like Him and begin to start witnessing to those around us that don't know Him, meaning Jesus Christ. 2, it says, and be, this is Romans 12, 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sheila G., what God wants us to do is he wants us, once we're saved, to start lining up with his will and to start saying, what my way of thinking is not way his God's way of thinking. And what I want to do is start lining my way of thinking up with his way of thinking so his will can be done in my life.
Right. That's why it's important that once that happens, that's how you develop that relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unlike a relationship that we have with each other,
right,
that by studying and prayer, we learn to grow and form that relationship. You don't just meet somebody and say, hi, I met you, how you doing, and then don't develop that relationship
right,
so that you become in line with one another.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put time, effort in it in order to understand what it is the will of God, what the will of God is.
And Dr. G, we talked about how when we're saved or you know, once we're born again, once we begin to start having our relationship with God, we talked about last week how we need to continue to develop this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're going to continue to bump our head up against the wall.
Right,
because it's a daily renewing that relationship. Once we get saved, we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like with any other kind of relationship. You have to work on that relationship.
Right.
You have to help nurture it so that the two of you, between the relationship between you and the Lord,
mm-hmm,
will continue to grow,
right,
and get better and get better. So then at that point, the closer you are to the Lord, you understand what his will is.
Right. And so now that we to the point where we're working on ourselves, understand we're going through a sanctification process. Now, Sheila G., what happens is now we can look to see how we can help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old thing of you know, I can't take the little splinter out of your eye,
right,
if I got a big old tree in
mine.
In mine.
Yeah, that's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
You understand? I'm trying to do eye surgery with a big old tree in my eye.
I can't see either.
I can't see. It's the blind leading the blind. And I'm making you blind because
right,
I can't see to do surgery on you.
Right.
And so this is important in our church development. And our church development is always looking inward, always looking to do God's will,
mm-hmm,
and then as we look to do God's will, now we, all right, I can now understand what God wants me to do. Now I can go share that with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to begin to start reaching out to and just on themselves.
Amen.
Right. That's a selfish nature.
Yeah.
That's a selfish nature. I got mine, you got to get yours. But God wants us to be like him, and what he does is he continues to reach out and continues to knock and wanting to draw others, and he wants us to be an ambassador for
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to be, I got it, you know, I got this, and you got to figure out a way to get yours as well,
right,
instead of being of service to the Lord,
mm-hmm,
by telling other people to come on in and helping to draw them to
right,
have the same thing that we have as well.
Exactly, and, you know, I think, Dr. G., I think a lot of times church organizations or church members really don't understand what their purpose is as far as now I'm saved, now I'm born again, now I have been given a gift, and now it's my responsibility to share my gift with the rest of the body of Christ.
Right,
mm-hmm,
and to try to help others to come to the knowledge of who God is. But for some reason, once we get saved and get in the church and start working, a whole lot of little different things start
mm-hmm,
taking place within our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy is playing games with our
right,
minds
right,
because the focus is not on doing God's will.
Mm-hmm.
It's on everything but, you know, competition comes up.
Right.
We're trying to compete with other groups within the church. Or you got preachers that are trying to out-preach each
right,
other.
Right.
Just like, you know, you got the Hampton Ministers Conference going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what they do, they get down there, and every pastor is trying to outshine the other pastor. All these different stories. So, and that's what happens with folk in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The focus, the, you know,
the focus
is not on Lord, what is your will?
Right.
It's on what I want to do.
Let me ask you this, Dr. G. Jesus, he grew up young man, mm-hmm. but his earthly ministry, what they say, theologians say, was about 3.5-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But in those 3.5 years, he came to do the will of the Father.
Right.
And he accomplished so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that first century, his disciples, it was said that they turned the world upside down.
Amen.
And he said, greater works will we do.
Amen.
But it seems like we're not doing the work.
If you remember, too, now, you know, Jesus is even growing up. His mindset was being about
his father's business.
Right.
Because even at the age of 12, when his parents thought that they had lost him,
mm-hmm.
he was in the temple
mm-hmm.
amazing those folk in there. So his mindset was always on doing the will of his father.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time his ministry actually started, he was ready.
Right.
He was set. And then the Lord was able to use him. But when you look at us, that's why with us,
mm-hmm.
we have to go back to the to that, you know, 12, too, be not
right.
conformed
to this world,
to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
And that's an everyday, daily thing, because the enemy will come in, sneak in, throw a little, and we don't know enough of the words to keep them off our back.
My goodness.
And we're not being transformed because we're prideful people.
Mm. Uh-oh.
So it's about us. And it's about how we've gotten and how far we've come, and
mm-hmm.
we're minister this and deacon this, title that, and this is how many people. And we're supposed to be humble, and being transformed is taking that pride away, which
mm-hmm.
is one of the things that the Lord hates the most.
Right.
Pride.
Right.
But people don't realize that, and just allowing that pride to go away and bringing in humility.
Mm-hmm.
We bring in humility, we will have the desire to bring others to Christ.
Yeah.
We heard on the radio on the way in, there's a late, James Fortune has a new show, and he was
mm-hmm.
asking people to call in about their blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady said, I am blessed because I'm seeing other people being blessed.
I knew that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that's right. And that's Jesus. He said he didn't come to be served, but he came
to be
a servant.
Right.
Went out the door.
Oh, it has.
It has.
Because see, with our people, with church folk, that whole thing of being a servant to
mm-hmm.
anybody has a negative connotation.
Right, right.
And we look at it, okay, well, here you don't serve. So that means you got to bend down
mm-hmm.
To somebody. But we take that out of context and we forget it's not any of that.
Right.
Being a servant means to do just what the Lord does.
Right.
And if we look at Jesus, who was the ultimate servant,
yes.
even unto death,
yes.
right,
we would be much better off.
Absolutely. And so in that 12th chapter, God is righteousness and dealing with his relationship. Now we're back together with the proper relationship with him. And now he goes to an area that I believe, Sheila G., is something that I don't think Christians spend enough on, is that our spiritual gift. And then I believe it's 1 Peter 4 and 10, it says that God has given every one of us a spiritual gift.
That's right.
And I don't think, let's turn to 1 Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter 4:10. That means everyone that confess with it, believes in their heart and confess with their mouth that God has given them a spiritual gift, and that fits into the church.
Amen.
And we'll get into that in a second, but want to just touch base with that in 1 Peter. I believe it was the 4th chapter
mm-hmm.
and verse 10. Let's see what it says. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold God. And so this is what Paul was saying in Romans. He was saying, you've been given grace, you know, by the mercies of God. God has given you something that you didn't deserve. And he says, in light of that, He said, what you need to do is take this gift that God has given you and serve, like Dr. G said, like Jesus served.
Mm-hmm.
He was humble, like Sheila G said,
mm-hmm.
that he didn't even, you know, walk around like he was, you know, anything a king, but he was just a person, amen, that was exuding the love of God,
right.
willing to go to the cross for sinners who really didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we flip back to Romans 12, verse 3, what happens is he begins to start talking about how we, as one body in Christ, have different gifts that are supposed to help each other. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 3. It says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, this is what you were talking about, Sheila G., more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, God says, nobody should in the church should think they're better than anybody else. Nobody should be puffed up or think they're you know, they got it going on more than anybody else.
That's right. And sometimes people get saved and all of a sudden it just the opposite happens.
Oh my God.
They believe that, okay, now the Lord has saved me, so yes, I'm puffed up, I'm better, I can look down at those the unsaved instead of reaching down and helping the unsaved.
That a lot of times it stems from the leadership,
mm-hmm.
and the congregation picks up on that from the leadership,
mm-hmm.
and then you got all these little gods running around
right.
there, or you know, a whole lot of little chiefs and
right.
not enough Indians.
Right. But he said right after you get renewed in your mind, right after you get saved, right after you're in the right relationship with God, he says, don't think more highly than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words. And our parents used to tell us all the time, don't forget where you came from.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Do not forget where you came from. As a matter of fact, go back to where you came from and help to bring others into the right fold with you as
mm-hmm.
well.
And when you can't forget where you came from and you know you deserve it.
Amen.
And God gave you some grace.
Amen. Amen.
And some mercy.
Hello.
See, grace you didn't deserve.
No. Nope.
Mercy, he didn't give you what you did deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And so what God is saying, look, all of us had to get saved the same way.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And giving everybody a gift.
Right.
And this is, Dr. G, I don't know what it is. It's just hard
mm-hmm.
for some reason for Christians, I'm going to call them Christians, to act like they're part of the body of Christ.
Because it's still got a lot of devil bit in it.
Oh my God!
It's pride, I'm telling you.
But
it's
like you won't get transformed. You won't get
right.
transformed.
And you won't grow.
You won't, and you think that you can take that stuff that you did back
mm-hmm.
when, and still do it up in the church.
But right.
Part of it too is that a lot of folks have the misconception that okay, once you come and you join the church, that it stops there. Then all of a sudden you can begin to lay back.
Uh-oh.
Now that you done come in, you put your name on the roll, you're giving you a little bit of money. If you feel like studying the word, if you feel like praying.
Like it's an option.
Right. But all of that is a part of what we ought to be doing to continue that daily growth. But we're just not following the rules.
Well, go ahead.
But what about the people that have been in the church for 20, 25 years? And suddenly believe that, okay, I don't need to study anymore. I don't need to go to Bible study.
They're
I don't know, because I know the Bible. I grew up with the Bible already. So I don't need to study this word. I can tell you what's in the word.
Well, that's fine. But we're getting to, you're a member of the body of Christ.
Right.
So whether you know it for 50 years,
amen.
You still have a responsibility
amen.
To me. And I tell, at our church, I say, whether you like me or not, whether you love me or not,
come on,
I'm a part of the body of Christ.
Well,
true.
You're a part of me and I'm a part
of you.
Amen.
Nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
And as bodies of Christ, we're supposed to go out and draw others.
And you're supposed to help me
amen.
Right.
to get better.
Amen.
Right.
You can't sit down on God because of your help.
Amen.
Right. Ooh.
And you can't look down on me.
Ooh.
And judge me.
Ooh.
You should be helping me. Mm-hmm. And that's why when somebody says, well, I already know the scripture, so Bible study is boring. No.
Come on.
I can read the same scripture 20 times
right.
And
get something
different out of it because I have a relationship with God to say, oh, you know what? This is what I want you to see today.
Exactly.
This is how I want you to see it this day.
Exactly.
And we are to study it so that we can help each other, draw the body closer together, and go beyond these walls and help other people to see the joy of the Lord.
Right.
The way that we act, it makes people not want to be bothered with the church.
Right.
Because it's like, y'all boring, mean people. Then as soon as you get saved, you're so much better than everybody.
Right, right.
Got the big black Bible mm-hmm. under your arm. And
big old cross,
big old cross around your neck.
Well,
know a few scriptures.
You do everything
so you
possible to make
me
feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not supposed to make people feel uncomfortable.
I'm a metal a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a metal.
Metal.
In verse 4, Romans 12:4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You ever heard the term stay in your lane?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm just going to meddle just a little bit.
Used it.
Why does it seem like people are not satisfied with the gift that God has given us?
Because they want to be seen.
And so what happens is, if you have the hand acting like the foot, and the foot acting like the ear.
Amen.
And the eye acting like the toe. And so you walk into the church and the church is all mixed up because
mm-hmm.
nobody wants to stay in their lane. And I'm a part of the body. I might be the bottom of the foot.
Amen.
But has anybody ever got a cut on the bottom of the foot?
Hello.
The whole body will limp until it gets well.
That's
Amen.
True.
Am I right?
That's
Amen.
True.
Stub your
That's
little
true.
Toe.
That's
true. Stub your little toe.
You feel it all the way up here.
And see
head.
If you... The pain will reverberate all the way up through your body,
yes.
hit your brain. Your brain will tell your mouth to make out a noise. Lord have mercy, if you've been transformed, you're not going to cuss.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're still working on that, you might even cuss.
All right.
Lord have mercy. but you get transformed, you're working on that too.
Right.
And what's going to happen is the hands are going to reach down there and grab that little toe.
That's right.
Hello.
That's how important that little toe is to the body.
That's right.
Try to walk without it.
Mm-hmm. You can't walk without it. That's why we need each other. We need to act like we need each other.
But what we know.
Nope. You got all of your dislike within the church. You know, some folk in Sheila G, you were talking about people who have been in the church for years, and they act like they're the pastor.
Won't stay in their lane.
I had to tell
won't stay in their lane.
You know, if you all want a figurehead, I'm not the one.
Right.
Because I know what God has called me to do.
Amen.
But if you want a pastor, someone that God has called to lead, then here I am.
Right.
And folk just don't get, they get these offices, and because they can quote a little scripture, they forget who they are and whose they are.
Right. And so this is where we need to go from, okay, now I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm back in the right relationship with God. Now I know I need to get transformed by the renewing of my mind. Now I know I need to think humbly because these gifts, and this is what wears me out, these gifts are supernatural. In other
Amen.
Words, we don't have to do anything to get them. God gives them to us.
Right.
And then people think they're good at it, and then they start trying to flaunt, you know, well, I do this. Without this,
Amen.
You know, the church wouldn't be nothing. Without this, they couldn't do without me. Without this. They wouldn't be able to do this for me. I'm
now,
this
how about
person.
This one? We are the church.
We are the church, and if it wasn't for me, we would do so and so. And but I'm still a part of the body.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm still a part of the body of Christ, and I need your gift. But guess what? You also need my gift.
Right. That's right.
And this is what I try to tell people. You can't redo what God says already here.
Amen.
The truth is the truth. Whether you believe it or not,
Amen.
It's not going to change that it's the truth. That God says that we are one body
mm-hmm.
in Christ.
With many members.
With many members.
Right.
And God says, in order for you to evangelize the world and turn the world upside down for him, you all are going to have to learn to work together
right.
as one body.
That's right.
That is the most difficult thing for the church to do.
Amen.
Everybody wants to be the foot. Everybody wants to be the mouth.
Amen.
Everybody wants to be the eyeball.
Amen.
Everybody wants to be the hand. Mm. You can't do it all.
Mm-mm.
No, and say that comes from us wanting to be do what we want to do instead of doing what God wants us to do. And sometimes people will disagree with the Lord, you know, and that they're like, the Lord's like, I want you to do this. I want you to walk this path. I want you to go right. I don't want you to go left. But, Lord, I really want to go left, but I need you to go
right.
And the only way that you understand that even when you're uncomfortable or you have to come out of your
right.
comfort zone
right.
is to have that relationship with him.
Exactly.
And say, okay, Lord, you're taking me out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to trust and believe
mm-hmm.
that this is what you want me to do.
Right.
Versus going against your will and then just
and that's where
making
that faith,
a mess of everything.
That's where that faith piece
right.
kicks
right.
in. And G was saying, you've got to do it every day.
Amen.
Every day.
Nobody wants to do it every day. The flesh doesn't want to do it every day. The only thing the flesh wants to do is eat, sleep, feel good.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
All the flesh wants to do. It wants
Amen.
To eat, sleep, and feel good.
That's true.
That's all it wants
That's
to do.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. Act just like a baby. When
Amen.
A baby comes here, he
uh-huh.
wants to
eat,
sleep. Well, he does some other thing.
All right.
He got to change his diaper. He does some other. Eat, sleep, and be happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But somewhere along, you got to get off the milk. You
right.
got to get off the ninny jug. Can I say
right.
ninny jug?
Yeah,
you
already right. said
gotta
that.
Off, you got to get the
Amen.
You gotta get the ninny jug. You got to get the ninny jug.
Amen.
Uh-huh. You gotta get off. At some point, Christians got to get off.
No, you go doing fine. Stay your course. Because and that's one of the problems. You know, we want to stay right there in the little easy lanes. Because see, as when we're young babies in Christ, easy,
right.
easier
right.
than when you grow up, then you've got to face reality. You got to
deal with folks.
You got to handle situations. You got to learn how to deal with problems when they're going and they're going to come.
Yes,
right.
So that the more you grow, the closer you get to God, it's going to be a lot more coming your way.
Right.
And a lot of folks are just not ready for that.
No.
They don't want that.
And there's some people that just don't want the responsibility
no.
that comes with being on the meat.
Wow.
Because with being on the meat, that means
wow.
that thing that you used to like to love to do while you
yeah.
were a babe, but you were
yeah.
like, I'm still growing. The Lord's like, okay, now
I'm
you know
now.
That
right.
you have no business
it's
doing that.
It's been a year later.
Amen.
I'm still growing. Yes, you're still growing, but you haven't moved past square one because you still want to keep your foot in the world. You're not being transformed.
Right.
You want to still be conformed to this world.
Right.
But in order to be transformed, you have to get off the milk onto the meat. But a lot of times people don't want that responsibility that comes with growing in Christ.
Yeah. And again, getting back to, we went all the way from Genesis up to this point where we lost our righteousness in the Garden of Eden. And now we've got it back. But now we have to practice righteousness.
That's right.
First, we had to practice it on ourselves, and then we have to practice, when I mean practice, I mean live it. We have to live it ourselves, and now we have to live it by dealing with each other. That's the hardest thing
mm-hmm.
for any organization to do is to deal with the people in the organization.
Amen.
It's the hardest thing.
Amen.
That is the number one hardest thing
yeah.
is to deal with somebody. You can't deal with folk on your job.
Right.
You can't deal with folk in your church.
Right.
And if anybody's ever been in church where you had choir members, Lord have mercy. You can't deal with the choir members. You can't deal with the musicians. The ushers don't get along. The preachers don't get along. I went, when I first got called to preach, the first meeting I went to, I thought, all the preachers, we're going to be together.
Huh.
We're going to kumbaya, my Lord. Everything's going to get together. We're going to pray it. Got in there and they fighting over who preached and
Amen.
Favoritism.
Uh-huh.
Well, you let him preach it. You let me.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
In the pastor study,
Amen.
Accusing the pastor of letting somebody else preach before them. The pastor got to pull out the list, Dr. G,
Come
says,
on now.
The secretary has kept the order of who preached. Here's the order right here. And he said, I'm the pastor and I'm going to tell. Whoever, if this person preaches 10 times in a row,
thank you.
I'm the pastor, and I'm going to
thank
tell
you.
Who's going to preach.
Thank you.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
I remember a long time ago, before we were at New Birth, it was a church that we used to fellowship with, and they had two awesome choirs, and they could really, really sing. And Billy used to go over there to preach for them a lot of times. And I was sitting up front, and the choir had finished singing. The two soloists did really well, but you had them separate where part of the group said, "Girl, you did really well,"
right.
And the other group said, "Girl, you did well. You actually did better than she
Uh-oh.
Did."
And
I'm like, oh, what in the
Uh-oh.
World?
Mm-hmm.
And so, they were all in the same
right in the same church,
but
in the same
they
body.
Sang two different. One solo sang a solo, and the other one sang a solo,
right.
And other ones were tell after church was over. Now, you sang, you heard the preach word,
right.
I'm just sitting there waiting for him to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about who sang better
division.
Than the other one.
Division.
Yes.
And so when we look at, God says, all right, you got your righteousness back, you're getting yourself transformed, and now I want you to work in. And what the enemy says, if I can keep them divided,
Amen.
They'll never do the work of Christ.
Right.
If I can get in and get them not to stay in their lane, not to focus on doing the work of God, not to focus on ministering their gift as God has given it to them, then the work of Christ will never go. They'll be singing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be preaching to each other.
Amen.
They'll be arguing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the work of the Lord will go undone because they're so focused on just doing what is
pleasing
to themselves.
Right.
Let's go back to Romans 12, verse 4, where he says, all members have not the same office. I think too many times people don't appreciate the gifts that people have.
Nope.
Right.
In other words, if you have an officer of the law, You don't appreciate the officer of the law until you get in trouble. If you have a firefighter, you don't appreciate the firefighter until your house is on fire. Am I right?
That's amen. Right. But they're always there.
Mm-hmm. You don't appreciate the crosswalk, amen, until somebody almost hit crossing guard, until somebody almost hits your kid.
Amen.
Right.
Uh-oh. Right?
That's
you don't appreciate the teacher until somebody there to teach you.
Right. Hmm. Well, they go on strike, and you have no.
Right. In other words, we have to learn how to respect each other in a way, amen, that is not service unto each other,
but
service
God.
Unto God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to respect my pastor because that's God's vessel. I'm going to respect my deacons. I'm going to respect, you know, all the way down the line. And I'm going to treat you the way God wants you to be treated because I'm not rendering service unto you, but I'm rendering service unto you as I'm rendering it unto God.
God.
Which allows me to be civil, respectful to the office that you're in, the gift that you have. If you're an usher, I'm going to respect you that you're the usher that God has stationed at the door. I'm not going to come in, bum rush you, roll my eyes. You tell me to sit here, I'm going to smack my lip, roll my eyes. And twitch my behind down and sit where I want to. But I'm going to respect that.
Right.
And so this is where immediately after you're saved, immediately after you're in the proper relationship with God, God said, now you got to learn how to deal with your fellow man.
Amen. Right.
He said, these are the greatest commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on these two. Is love God
mm-hmm.
and love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor.
As yourself.
Amen.
That's where we God, I'm in love. I got a relationship with God. God knows my heart. God this, God this, God this, God this. Me and God, me and the Lord. Well, what about your neighbor?
Amen.
What about your neighbor?
And that's why there shouldn't be a lot of isms and schisms and arguments and disagreements in God's church.
Yeah.
If there's something, we should be able to disagree without being disagreeable.
Hmm. We should be able.
We should be able to. But this is the stumbling block of the church.
So see, again, here you go. We forget the enemy comes to the church.
It sits right there.
And it sits right up in there.
In an $800 suit.
Amen. And we fall prey to his attacks.
Mm-hmm.
We allow him
spiritual
to get
warfare.
In us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even realize what's going on. And then here we go. We an act of the fool. I've had such a bastard. I have had folk act ugly,
mm-hmm.
arguing right after an evening service.
Mm-hmm.
Had folk, guest folks still there
mm-hmm.
in the church.
Yeah. Wow.
Had in meetings tell me what they are and what they represent.
in a meeting. And these are the folks in the church.
Right.
So, you know, we seem to lose what it is that God is trying to instruct
right.
us once we get a little title
right.
and we think we all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we have to be brought back. You ain't all that.
Hello.
And it's very important for us to understand what I mean by we should be able to disagree without being disagreeable. It's understand, like you said, you have respect that everybody in there has a relationship with the Lord.
Right.
So if they're doing something that you find that you're not comfortable with or you disagree with, you should be able to pray to the Lord.
Absolutely.
The Lord will give you guidance as to whether to say something, not to say it, as well as how to say it.
Right.
And the Lord will also prick that person's heart.
Right.
If it's something that needs to be said without you having to go bum rush them or jump in their face.
Right.
It's that's all that trust. It goes back to this, having love for your neighbor and trust. Being disagreeing with someone doesn't mean that you have to come at them with both barrels.
Well, you know, before you get around, while you're going over there, you know, we should love one another within the church.
That's right.
But it's not there. Yeah.
Right.
We love everything but
each other.
And I definitely agree with you guys, and I know I kind of look at it as well as almost just like we're all part of the same team.
Right.
Everybody kind of envies everybody else's role, but I'm just like, if you look at churches that we deem successful, corporations that we deem successful, even your favorite sports teams that are successful, one thing they'll say is, I stay in my lane. I know my part
that's
in this hierarchy.
Right.
I respect the coach. My job's not to score. My job's to do this. Whether
that's
I work in the mail room, my job's to get the mail to the CEO so he can do what he do. And then, you know, even in the church, and just like what you said as well, is that you can disagree, but it's always in your approach of how you do it, because the devil seems to know, like, even though you may not act on it, but if he knows you have a little bit of envy of a certain thing, that he can take that and manifest it, and he'll
work.
Because I use myself and Sister Gregory, perfect example. She throws a lot of songs at me all the time. I don't get personal when she says, well, let's try to do it like this, whatever. Like, I'm like, okay, we have a relationship. We have an understanding where we can talk it out. We can do it, and ultimately, we both recognize it's not about Sister Gregory.
That's right.
It's not about Brandon.
Yes.
It's about us making sure we sound good and we're all on the same page when we get in front of whoever to sing.
Amen.
And that's all that it's
and
about.
That's it.
And, you should,
and
that's it. And then I think if people keep that in mind and don't lose sight that it's not about you, it's about all of us. Because at the end of the day, nobody's going to say, oh, I came to see this church and Sister Gregory, whatever. They're going to say, no, I went to New Birth.
Exactly.
That encompasses all of us. So
exactly.
It doesn't matter if he represents New Birth bad.
Right.
Present New Birth in a negative way, they're going to remember it as New Birth. They're not going to
remember
it as, oh, Sister Gregory or Brother Stewart
or
Pastor Gregory. They're going to say, you know, that New Birth. They're not really, and that's what people have to realize. You represent that entity. So as small of a part as you feel you may have, you still represent that church. So if you give somebody a negative experience, they're not going to take it out on you. They're going to lump you with the whole church.
All together.
And people, exactly. And then we obviously know. It seems like negative publicity travels faster than the positive. So, girl, I went to New Birth, and you're not going to believe what happened over there, whatever like that. So you already know how that spreads like wildfire. But I think it's just people get caught up in the egos. They get caught up in the titles and things like that. And you just have to realize, even me, for example, I'm the minister of music.
Right.
I'm a small piece of the entire puzzle.
Right.
I have a small role. I know where I stay. If I have questions about anything else, I ask, or I go to that person whose lane that's in. And say, hey, look, I just want to know. I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying everything.
That's it.
Help me out. Help me to understand. But I know I'm a small piece of the big puzzle. And I think when people start realizing that, then that's how you can grow, and then that's how you guys can grow together.
Exactly. And again, if you go back to that 12, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more
highly
than he ought to think.
There it is.
But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man, or everyone has a gift, the measure of faith."
That's right.
Can't get big headed because you can't, if you're in the body of Christ, you can't make it without the rest of the body.
Amen.
You have to be humble.
Amen.
You have to be humble. And you have to think about now that sometimes you may think you're right, but you're not right.
Mm-hmm.
And that
Absolutely.
Happens. And that's where it goes back into where you feel that you disagree with something. You go to God first.
Amen. Amen.
And you pray, and he will reveal to you whether to keep your mouth closed.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let him deal with it, or to speak through you, or convict you to say, oops, you know what, my bad, I was wrong.
Right.
And then you're glad you didn't say something.
Exactly.
But you see, the bad part about it is that most folks don't go to the Lord first. They just open their mouth and they go for it. And again, they're reacting to those emotions.
Right.
And they
right.
go for it.
There it is, the emotion.
My feelings.
My feelings.
But we have to keep those two commandments.
Yes.
Love God mm-hmm. and love your neighbor.
Right.
Because Paul, God said that love never fails.
That's right.
Love never fails. In other words, if God, the only way he could deal with the devastation of sin was through love,
amen.
Then everything else in this world can be done, dealt with through love.
Amen.
Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. If we can keep those two things mm-hmm. in our mind and say, how can I handle this in love?
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, I can tell you the truth, but it's not what I tell
you,
it's how I tell
you.
So I have to speak the truth in love.
Right.
And that is what we have to do. Looks like we got to go to the phone lines. We're going to see if we can get 2122. 2122, you're on the air.
2122, Brother Lee. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Brother Lee, how you doing?
I'm doing just great, great. As I was listening to you, Galatians 5:22, but the mm-hmm. fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, mm-hmm. long-suffering, gentleness, goodness,
amen.
Faith, meekness, mm-hmm. temperance, against such, there is no law. If we,
amen.
As the church, the people, stop practicing that, it'll be
right.
less possible in the church, and then
amen.
We're going to draw people from out in the world inside the church. It was is one of our missions. And that's
amen.
All I have to say.
Thank you very much, Brother Lee. We're going to see if we can get someone else on the line. We're going to try 1211. 1211, you're on the air. Oh, you're on the air. 1211. Hello?
Hello? You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
This is edifying, and as I've been listening, it brought Galatians, 2 Corinthians 5:20 to mind.
Uh-huh.
Talking about our mission. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though
all
God
right,
is speaking to us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Amen.
So,
amen.
That means you do have to speak the truth, like you're saying, but diplomatically in love. Because
that's right.
Absolutely.
Encourage people to be reconciled. God bless y'all
that's
so
right.
much for your ministry.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to see if we get someone else on the line. We're going to try 8481. 8481, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, 8481. All right. They must be taking a nap. We're going to go back to 7558. 7558, you're on the air. Hello, 7558. All right, we're going to go down the list. Let's try 7462. 7462. You're on the air, 7462.
Just want to say good evening, and I'm enjoying the Bible study very much. So far,
amen.
I don't have any questions. I'm following along.
Bless
all right.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. All right. We're going to try 9016. 9016, you're on air.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey,
hey, hey. Hey.
How you doing? We're talking about how you got to be humble in ministry. What do you have to say about being humble in ministry?
Being humble is realizing that you can't do it by yourself and it's not about you. It's about winning
uh-huh.
souls for Christ and kingdom building.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we thank everyone for their comments. Getting back to this Romans 12, Sheila G, when and everyone is realizing that it's not about us, is we have to function together. We have to function like a body.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to the point where we understand in order to do the work, everybody has to bring their A game to the body.
Amen.
That's right.
You can't get in your feeling.
Amen.
No.
And say, I ain't going to sing no more.
Amen.
I ain't going to preach no more.
That's right.
I ain't going to teach no more. I ain't gonna do it no more.
Right.
They made me mad. That's all right. Let them do it themselves. They don't like my idea.
And
you can't do
you
that.
You cannot. And if God has given you a gift, He will make you so uncomfortable
yes.
that you'll have to get back into it.
Amen.
So let's see what Paul has to say about this. In Romans 12, verse 5, he says, "So being many are one body in Christ, and every one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith,"
mm-hmm.
verse 7, "or ministry, let us wait on our ministry," means serving ministry, "or he that teaches on teaching," in verse 8, "or he that exhorteth on exhortation," "or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." In other words, everybody has a role, and everybody's connected to the body of Christ. And one of the things that when you're connected to the body of Christ is you can't function, Sheila G., in your spiritual gift if you still dibbling in the world.
Amen.
Sure, you have to be transformed.
Amen.
And what happens is you bring that into the ministry,
right.
and you bring it into me. So in other words, when we're on one accord, that's why Jesus, when he was erected and he met them in the upper room, they were in one place on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God moved. But when you are trying to minister to the body and you still got worldly stuff going on, it makes it difficult for the church to operate because you still are carrying on, you know, being influenced by that demonic spirit that won't allow you to operate under the anointing in your gifting.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you're almost like a broke foot
right.
in the body.
Amen.
How many broke foot do you have in the church? And so the rest of the body is trying to carry
right.
the load because you keep thinking you can bring in the world stuff into the church.
Amen.
But you have to realize that you're one body and we're connected one to another. You can't come connected dragging that mess up in there.
Amen.
Because the body is not going to work right. It's
Amen.
Not going to function right.
Amen.
Amen. And it's important that we understand that sometimes that's what is a trick of the devil, is to pull you back into that worldly
mm-hmm.
and have you bring the worldly into the church to
right.
cause division within the church to keep the word from going out and drawing others into Christ.
Right, right. So Dr. G, you know, if I have a gift, but I'm using my gift and I'm still acting worldly, what is the body of Christ going to progress?
Mm-mm. Only the devil's works are going to progress at that point. And until you understand that, and you get back to the point of where you need to be, you can't function as God would want you to function.
Amen.
Just not going to happen.
And that's what happens to the church. We won't understand that we have to live righteous ourselves, and we have to take these gifts and we have to minister them to each other in righteousness. We can't do it in a worldly manner.
Amen.
And too many people are trying to live too many different lives. Oh,
schizophrenic.
You can't live. What the Bible say? You can't serve two masters.
Two men.
You gonna love
one
or
hate
the
other?
Yeah. Lord have mercy. I can't be a pimp and a preacher.
Come on.
Oh gosh.
Come on.
Oh God.
Although you got some out there.
Oh my goodness. We're gonna go to 3658. 3658. 3658. You're on the air. Hello. 3658. You had a comment? 3658, you got a comment? All right, we're going to go down to back to what we were talking about. Can't be a pimp and a preacher at the same time.
That's right.
It's because what's going to happen is one's going to interfere with the other.
Hello.
That's right.
And this is, again, this is the thing of transforming, and this is the point where we have to speak the truth in love and tell people, you came out of that of being unsaved and the devil as your teacher and your leader. Now God has put you back in the right relationship with him. You got to turn it loose.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
You got to turn it loose.
And that's what I meant when I said that some people want to stay on milk because they don't want the responsibility of being on meat, which means that you have to turn that stuff loose because you know better. It's one thing if you quote unquote don't know, but you definitely know that you can't act ugly 6 days a week, then put your suit on and roll up in church on Sunday and be holier than thou.
Oh my goodness!
And you know better than that.
But you know, with all of that, you know, part of it is just that I don't believe people are really sincere
mm-hmm.
about their faith. You know, they get that little emotional high.
Right.
But then when they begin to understand all of the work
right.
that's involved with it,
yeah.
then we begin to kind of pull back because
mm-hmm.
we don't want to do all that.
Too hard.
We want to be able to come in and act the fool in the church. And that's why it's important for the leaders of the church to make sure that they are tied in with God.
Right.
Because if they're not watchful and prayerful, that junk will come into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't stamp it out,
right.
it'll just kind of filter and
right.
it'll grow over here and over there. And you got a mess on your hands.
A mess
that
on
stuff
your
comes.
Hands.
I mean, you sitting there trying to preach, looking at you, frowning, rolling the eyes.
Talking.
On the phone, texting.
Exactly.
And you know that is one of the most conniving ways that the devil wants to get into. Especially, you know, being a minister's wife. I was a minister's wife before I was a pastor's wife, and
mm-hmm.
we used to all have these retreats, and we would talk about how our husbands, the way the devil would get at our husband
mm-hmm.
wasn't so much with us
mm-hmm.
as it was that congregation.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If the devil can get confusion going on in the congregation, it will make the pastors say,
mm-hmm.
what's the use?
Mm-hmm.
Why bother?
Mm-hmm.
And then we as the pastor's wives have to say, well, you know, this is what God has to deal with
right.
as well.
Right.
So you have to get in that word and stay prayed up.
Right.
But even though the emotion and the flesh in you is frustrated.
Right.
And that is why the devil wants to sift the members and cause confusion so that the pastor would just throw up his hands and
right.
say, forget it.
Right.
Or either let them do whatever they want because he gets his paycheck.
Exactly. And so here now we're practicing this righteousness. We got to practice it with ourselves. We got to act that way with the church. And then in this Romans 12:9, it says now that we're acting like one as the church. Now I said, now you got to go out and demonstrate it to the folks that are low.
Amen.
And those are the three areas that really bring us down: is whether we have the proper relationship, whether we have the proper relationship with the church, whether we have the proper relationship with society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in those three areas, that's where the church, I think we struggle, is making sure we're together. Making sure we're together with the church body.
Amen.
Right.
And then making sure we're reaching out to the lost masses so they can see the Christ in us and come to know the God that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain way. So when Paul talks in Romans 12, verse 9, he says, let love, oh my goodness.
Here we go.
Be without dissimulation. That's a big word. Just mean hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrisy. Everybody that I've known that doesn't go to church, and I'm going to say this, and I might be wrong by maybe 1 or 2%, but everybody that doesn't go to church, they said that the church is full of
hypocrites.
Wait for it. Okay.
Hypocrites.
Yes.
Hypocrites.
Yes.
The number one reason that I might be 99%, I might
now
be all by
close.
A percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The number one are what? Hypocrites. So Paul says, okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2, you got yourself together. He says Romans 3 through 8, now you're working as a church, working together. But he says when you're just doing that, then what happens is we're just entertaining each other.
Come on.
We're entertaining
Come
each
on.
Other. Oh, you sang, Brother
Come
So-and-so.
On.
Oh, you
Come
say,
on.
Brother So-and-so. Oh,
Come
you
on.
Preach, Brother So-and-so. Folks still lost.
Amen. Something wrong.
But
right.
still on.
That's right. Got to take it beyond the wall.
So Paul is saying you got to take it it's not good enough for you to just be saved. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough for the body of Christ to minister to each other and work each other out. You know, oh, they're good. We got it going on. We got the best this. We got the best this. Mm-hmm. Pastor did this. This. We doing this and doing. But what about the folks that are alone? And he said the reason why they're not coming to know Christ is because you're practicing dissimulation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hypocrisy, Sheila Z. What is that? What turns people off when you say you one way and then but you
different way. Mm. And a lot of that is beyond the church walls.
Yeah.
When you're on your job,
yeah,
and you're like, okay, yeah, girl, I'm going to Bible study tonight, and mm-hmm. we had a great time in church on Sunday, but then you turn around cussing out all your coworkers
in the club,
or they see you right, they see you Saturday night, and then see you, but on Monday you're talking about the Lord this, the Lord that, and it is a hypocrisy. It's better not to say anything.
Amen. And too, you know, just sitting here thinking, you know, all of what we supposed to be and what we're supposed to do in the church.
Mm.
Well, it's got to be in us. In
my
our heart.
Goodness.
You have to live it.
Not just on the outside. People have got to be able to see that love in us.
Amen.
Right.
And that's one of the things that, I knock on wood, that we're working on at New Birth,
mm-hmm.
that when people come in there, and I hear your folk all the time, it's such a loving church.
Right.
Well, that's good inside.
Mm-hmm.
But now we got to make sure that folk are carrying it outside.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is what he's talking about in that verse 9. He's saying, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In other words, mm-hmm. when you go out, you have to say, I don't like evil in the church, but then you get out in the street and you slinging dope,
uh-huh.
you gossiping, mm-hmm. you acting just like the evil mm-hmm. people out there.
Right. Out there playing your number.
Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy.
Hit that big lottery. Mm.
So what they're actually saying is, you know, it's okay to be saved. It's okay to be in the body of Christ. But there's more to it. You got to demonstrate
right.
it, like you said, Sheila
right.
Z. You got to live it, whether you're in the beauty shop,
amen.
Whether
right.
you're in the barber shop,
right.
whether you're at the football game, whether you're
store.
At the cookout,
amen.
Whether you're at the grocery store.
Amen.
You got to abhor or distance yourself from evil and cleave to that which is good. That's an example that we have to set to the world. And then in verse 10, and this is what really turns people off too, it says,
here we go.
Be kindly affection one to another with
brotherly
love and honor, preferring one another.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they see church folk talking about church folk.
Amen. Evil.
Gossip instead of talking about the gossip.
Amen.
Right.
And it's just disappointing to see church folk act ungodly
amen.
In front of ungodly folk.
Right. Because that's where the hypocrisy
out.
Comes from.
Okay. Dr. Brandon. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. But and I think that goes back to the point that I made earlier that it's the representation of who you are, because the thing is if I'm not in the church, but Sister Gregory is somebody that if I encountered, I'm like, you know, well, she's, you know, this way, that way, and
right.
I deem her as being a hypocrite, then I lump that into the church. Well, I don't
yes.
want to go to church because everybody in there
everybody.
Is a hypocrite. But
exactly.
it's just because I had one encounter with
one
bad person,
exactly.
but now I associate her with the entire church.
Exactly.
And that's why I said we have to kind of get out of that, because that small percentage of people you say usually
yes.
have it because of one person who may misrepresent the church.
Okay,
well, the whole church must be like that, because this person says they go to church and they're out in the club and they're cussing me out and doing God knows what. So I'm going to assume that everybody at their church is like that. Not looking at it that they're a work in progress. I need
right.
to see beyond that.
Right. Exactly.
But that's how people are, because they don't know the
are.
Lord. Exactly.
Right.
And what our job is, what we try to do, the way that we conduct ourselves outside, well, the way we should,
mm-hmm.
outside of the church, we're trying to draw folk in.
Exactly.
And if we're acting ungodly outside,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to draw people to Christ that way.
No way.
And that's why my biggest thing is you always have to have a positive attitude.
Yes.
Even when stuff is hitting the fan, you
things.
Still have
mm-hmm.
to have a positive
attitude. And that's in verse 12. But let's look at verse 11.
Hmm.
It says, not slothful in business. Now, how many Christians on their job?
Lazy.
Thank you. I've been trying to get that word in. They're lazy.
You talk about, you God this, God this, God this, and
but you don't want to
conduct business.
Lazy.
Nowhere, no come to work late. Want to leave, abuse your leave, don't do your work.
Be on the phone.
On the phone.
Go to sleep.
On the internet, not doing what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
And you got a big 50-pound Bible on your desk.
Come on, man.
Everything out your mind is out, mouth. Cross hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And the world is looking and say, we're not going to hire no more Christians.
Right. Come on.
Oh, come on.
They're lazy.
They're not good. That's going to...
They're lazy.
We're going to have to pick back up on that next week.
Lazy Christians. That's a good sermon.
Slothful in business. We got to pick back up. But those three areas is getting ourselves together, getting the church, and dealing with those that are not lost, representing God. And again, this is Bible study. This is good teaching. But we got to apply it to our lives.
Right.
Amen.
And this is what God has put it in the word for us to apply. We got to look at it. Is my stuff together? Is my stuff together as a body of Christ?
Come
with
on.
My spiritual gift? And how am I representing myself
right.
to those that are lost? Society.
Right. Right. Ambassador.
We got to look at that and make sure we, like Dr. G says, is practice it every day.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Every single day. That's why you need to wake up with the prayer of thanksgiving.
Amen.
And carry that like that was the bowl on that commercial where the bowl would follow cream of wheat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Carry it with you all throughout the day.
Thank you, Lord, again for another evening in your word. We thank you, Lord, for those that have come out. We thank you for those that have called in.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for opening our eyes to the word and helping us to get a better understanding and prayerfully that we'll take that word and apply it to our lives. Father, it's not about us, but it's about us being used to do your will. I pray, Lord, that we might be mindful of your word and mindful of how you want us to be about doing a good work. Father, we thank you for this evening. We pray now, Lord, that if it's your will, that you awaken us up on tomorrow and we start this thing all over again. Father, we pray now that you would grant us traveling mercies as we leave this place. And be with those who are on the airways. Father, we ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Good night, everyone. Hopefully we'll see you on next Thursday night. Nothing new under the sun. Man, the time flies. Oh, my goodness.